As we look at the scripture this morning, it's going to be a fitting passage to look at as we consider this end of an era here at our church, and even thinking about what God has next for Al and Jan, but also what God has for us as well. So I want to read a few verses of scripture as we begin. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm just going to read verses 6 through 8 this morning. Paul writes these words. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." May God bless the reading of his word. You know, in more ways than one, we're experiencing the end of a chapter this morning. Obviously, we're celebrating the many decades of service that Jan has contributed to our church family. And we're also ending the letter to 2 Timothy, or to Timothy, called 2 Timothy. And one of the truths that we see in the passage here is that there is no such thing as retirement in the Lord's service. You may switch roles, switch places, but God always has something in store for us to do. And so we're looking forward to what God has in store for Al and Jan and their family. You know, as followers of Jesus, we have a race to run. We have a course to finish. We have a fight to fight. And until the day that we breathe our last breath, we have the opportunity to represent Jesus to those around us. And in the time just remaining this morning, I want to share with you some reflections from a faithful Christian. You know, these are the last words, 2 Timothy, these are the last words from the Apostle Paul that we have. And he's writing Timothy, a younger man, to encourage him and challenge him to fulfill his ministry, the ministry that God had given him. And so as we come to the end of this letter, we almost have this Moses passing the baton of leadership to Joshua moment, this David passing the baton to Solomon moment, the Elijah to Elisha moment. You see a transition from someone who is nearing the end to someone who is still very young in their journey. And Paul is writing about that transition. You know, he's sharing that his ministry is coming to an end. And as he does so, he is challenging Timothy and those who come behind him to fulfill the ministry that God has given them. And the way he does that is by reflecting on his life in these few verses. And what Paul does is he gives us five analogies that describe his life with Christ. The first analogy is that his life is like pouring out a drink offering. In verse 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering." And under the old covenant, the drink offering would often accompany other offerings. But there was something very unique about the drink offering, in that when the drink offering was offered up, it was completely poured out. So if you were to bring the drink offering, you would completely pour it out before the Lord. None of it would go to the priest. It was an offering completely for God. Now I want you to think about this. Imagine a pitcher of water. And this pitcher represents your life. And the water inside this pitcher represents the years of your life. And now I want you to think about, you know, this pitcher, and it has various amounts of water depending on our lives. You know, some of us live different amounts of time, but we all have this water, amount of water, this amount of time in our pitcher of life. And you know, when you pour out a pitcher of water, it really doesn't take much intentionality to simply just pour it out. I mean, kids do it all the time, right? All over the place. But it does take intentionality to pour out the pitcher of water in a specific direction, into a glass, for example. And so when we look at this passage, when Paul says, you know, my life is being poured out as a drink offering, he's saying, I have been pouring out my life for a specific purpose. I've been intentionally living out my life. And so the question is, you know, for what purpose are you pouring out your life? You know, what is causing the years of your life to go in a certain direction? You know, we look at the Apostle Paul, and And it's evident that Paul poured out his life for Christ. Why? Because Christ poured out his life for Paul. And you see it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Listen to what Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the whole way that Paul approached life was altered when he became a Christian, when he became a follower of Jesus. You know, he poured out his life so people would know Jesus and follow him. And so I want you to think about that. You know, how are you pouring out your life? What's giving direction to the years of your life? You know, as Paul reflects on his life, it's clear that the one who guided his steps was Jesus. And his life was poured out for the glory of God. The second analogy that Paul uses is that of a ship. Paul says in verse 6, the time of my departure has come. And so I want you to picture a ship tied up to a dock. And now I want you to picture the captain of that ship telling the crew, all right, it's time to loosen the ropes. It's time to hoist the anchor. It's time to set sail. And then you see this ship begin to sail away to its destination. You know, in the first analogy, Paul talks about the end of his life. You know, my life is coming to an end. I'm being poured out as a drink offering. But now Paul is talking about what happens after his end will come. He's talking about where he will be going. He talks about the journey that he'll be on into the next life. And here's the reality. For all of us, our ship will depart at some point. And there will come a day when the ropes are loosened and the anchor is hoisted and the ship will move toward its destination. And the question is, when that day comes, where will your ship be headed? You know, Paul knew his destination. Early in his ministry, he told the church in Philippi, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to live on in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. See, if you've placed your faith in Christ, then you can have that same type of assurance. So when the time of your departure comes, you will know where you're headed. You're headed to be with Christ. The third analogy is that of a fighter going the distance. In verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. You know, as Paul reflects on his life, no doubt he considers all the challenges he's faced. I mean, the temptations, the physical abuse, the disappointments, the betrayals, the pain. But Paul fought through all those challenges, trusting in God. And I think we all agree that life is a battle. It's a challenge. And if we're going to live for Christ, it takes intentionality. And if we're going to live for Christ, we need to dress accordingly. You know, we need to put on the armor of God if we're going to engage in this battle. And Paul describes more in detail the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. But simply put, we need faith in Christ. We need the knowledge of God's word. We need the power of God's Spirit working through us. We need to participate in a life of prayer, because we need the transformation power of Christ if we're going to fight the good fight. The fourth analogy is that of a runner finishing his race. Paul writes, I have finished the race. Now notice he didn't say, I have won the race. He just says, I have finished the race. And that should encourage all of us, right? We're not running against one another to see who can get there first necessarily. We're not competing with each other. But we're running the race that God has set out for us to run. And it's this race that God wants us all to finish. He wants you to finish your race. The fifth analogy is that of guarding a treasure. Paul writes, I have kept the faith. You know, he's not only believed the gospel, but he has guarded the integrity of the gospel. He has made it his life's work to share the gospel that was given to him by Christ and affirmed by the apostles. And he saw it as a treasure. You know, Jesus once said this parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." You know, for Paul, the gospel was his prized possession that he willingly and freely shared with all those around him. And throughout his many years of ministry, he kept the faith. Now, after listening to these five analogies, let's consider this question. Why should we pour out our lives as a drink offering? I mean, why should we fight the good fight? Why should we try to finish the race? Why should we keep the faith? Well, Paul tells us in verse 8 why we should do this. He writes, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." You know, the reason why we should pour out our lives for the glory of God, the reason we should go the distance, finish the race, keep the faith, is that there's more to life than this life. There's more to life than this life. The crown of righteousness will be rewarded to us in the life to come. Another way to say it is this: the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The eternal life that God offers for those in Christ is what Paul treasured. I mean, it's what motivated him. Even when people walked away from him, he stayed motivated because that was his treasure. It kept him going. Even when people rejected Christ, he kept going because that was his treasure. It compelled him to go to new places, reach new people. You know, the crown of righteousness can only be awarded by Jesus. He's the only one that can award that. He's the only one that can give eternal life. And this is what fueled Paul's life. And Paul then tells Timothy, you know, he has just mentioned in verse 5, "Fulfill your ministry, Timothy." And then he tells Timothy, this should be his direction too. Seek after this crown. Pursue the crown of righteousness, this relationship with Jesus for eternity. Notice that Paul says there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to him on that day. But did you catch what he said at the end? He said, "And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Now, this is one of the few instances where you can find support for giving everyone a participation trophy. You know, participation trophies. Now people, if they're on a sports team, like everybody gets a trophy. Well, this is one of the passages you can actually find some support for that. It's not about your first place trophy or the fastest runner trophy. Paul says, you know what? If you love Jesus, there is awaiting for you this crown of righteousness. He awarded it to Paul, and he will award it to you as well. He's saying that if you love Jesus and follow him to the end of your life, then you will receive the same crown that Paul received. Receiving the crown of righteousness from Jesus is not the result of preaching many sermons in a church, or even playing a piano for decades, or teaching a Sunday school class, or running a business that blesses the community, or being a good husband, wife, or parent. The person who will receive the crown of righteousness is the person who loves Jesus. It's the person who wants to be with Christ. Who will go to heaven? Who will be with Christ for eternity? The one who wants to be. The one who loves Christ, who has given their life to Christ, placed their faith in Christ. The one who loves Jesus will pour out his life or her life for the glory of God and the good of others. And so if you're that person, then you'll be able to say with Paul, "I've been crucified with Christ. You know, what I treasured, what I valued before has been placed in a secondary position because my ultimate value is to be with Christ. And that motivates me." Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And I wonder, can you say that this morning? That I'm living for Christ. I want to pursue Christ. Have you given your life to Christ? Again, the one who will receive the crown of righteousness is not the one who earns it, but the one who loves his appearing. The one who loves Christ, wants to be with Christ, who has faith in Christ. I wonder, is your life direction set above just graduation or getting the job or getting married or having children or retiring or buying the house or traveling or having grandchildren? I mean, all those are wonderful things, but is that your goal? I mean, is that what your life is directed toward? Or is what is that which is directing your life something greater? Is it Christ? Is it being with Christ? Is it seeking Christ, following Christ, loving Christ? Is your life direction set on the appearing of Jesus? If so, then that direction will influence how you pour out your life. Just like Paul said, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. I am offering my life for the purposes of God. Because he loved Christ. He loved Jesus. And if you love Christ, you will follow Christ. You will allow God to pour your life out in a way that glorifies him and blesses those around you. Paul walked with Jesus for many decades before the time of his departure came. But the way that you can ensure that you'll be walking with Jesus for decades is to walk with Jesus today. It's to pursue Christ today. And if you've never placed your faith in Christ, then I encourage you to begin that relationship even today. There's a next step card there in your pew in front of you. And it will lead you in a prayer that you can say to God, just expressing your desire. God, I want to start this relationship with you. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to turn away from sin, turn to Jesus, and pursue him all the days of my life. I want to encourage you to make that decision. And for those of you who are in Christ, I want to challenge you to set the direction of your life to the appearing of Christ. All those other things are fine as well, but they need to be secondary to the appearing of Christ. That needs to be our perspective, our goal, our aim. So we will pour out our lives for the glory of God and the good of people. If the direction of our lives are set to the appearing of Christ, we will fight the good fight. We will finish the race. We will keep the faith. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this word from Paul. As he was nearing the end of his life and reflecting on his life with Jesus, thank you for these pictures that motivate us to consider what are we living for? What are we pouring out our lives for? What are we aiming at? Lord, help us to have an eternal perspective. Help us to put Christ first. And seek to know him and make him known. So that as we come to the end of our journey and the time of our departure comes, we can say like Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which Jesus will bestow on me. Because I have loved his appearing. May that be true of all of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.